Living other dimensions. Living on other dimensions. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California. That's one dimension. Talking about living on other dimensions. Most of us have the idea that living on other dimensions means that we go off to Mars or we go off to some other place, and that we live there. Well, Ernest Holmes said, there are dimensions within dimensions within dimensions. And that's a lie, because that's not true. There are not dimensions within dimensions within dimensions. There's only one dimension. Now, not that Ernest Holmes was lying, but Ernest Holmes took people to the point that they could understand. And the point that they could understand was apprehending, understanding one dimension at a time. And few people can do that. Few people can even understand one dimension at a time. Now, do you understand the dimension that you're on? Do you understand the dimension here of physicality, of humanity, of living here on planet Earth in this moment, the year 2003? July 26th, 2003. Can you visualize yourself living here? Yes, even the dogs can. They say, there's some rabbits out there, we're gonna go check them. Now, you live in the moment. You live in the moment. You like to think, oh, I know all about history and yesterday. I know about the possibilities and the things that may come up tomorrow. I know about that. I know about today. I know we're going to have lunch in the former monastery up there in the main building, which we haven't really given a good name yet, Uni Building. And I know that. And I know that after this meeting here, Sam and Herb are going to go take a ride in the golf cart and look at the property. And Sam is going to say, oh, how nice, because that's what Herb says. I know that, and that's wonderful. But what we do not always know is that there is but one dimension, and in that dimension are many dimensions. Now, that seems irrational and seems unreasonable, but if you read the course, The Art and Science of Wholeness at the University of Healing, you come to learn that God is neither reasonable or rational. The divine is neither reasonable or rational. Why did any person in their right mind create a zillion, billion, trillion, million, infinite number of grains of sand on the beach? And then have the Sahara Desert blow into the ocean and make the ocean into a sand desert. One day the ocean's going to come up and the Sahara will go down. Or why? Why did a creative cause as great as the infinite as we think of God being have earthquakes and squash all his people? Kill them. That's not very nice. Why did Krakatoa, this great volcano, go kapoof, and the whole island go kapoof, and all the people there, and the tidal waves going around the world destroying many islands, many people on islands. We don't know how many people lost their lives because of that. We have no idea. And that seems irrational, unreasonable. And why are there floods? Why are there other types of hurricanes, tornadoes, and other lovely things? Why? Because they're fun. They're fun. Fun to hurt somebody else? No. One thing we learn on this dimension or any other dimension, you cannot be killed by another person. No other person has any power in our life. Nobody. Nobody can control us unless we give them control. Nobody can hurt us unless we give them the power to do it. No one can take our life, not even Krakatoa, not even an earthquake, not even a tidal wave, not even the 9/11, you know? I mean, those are two geniuses, or many geniuses, who knocked down those buildings. I mean, demolition experts would like to be able to put the building down as nicely as they did. It's fantastic. And you look at it like that, and you think, that's interesting. And you say, but all those lives that were lost, yes, that was not a pleasant thing for a human to think about. But every one of those people wanted to die. You say, but surely not, surely not. Yes, they did. Because you cannot be killed unless you want to go. You cannot live unless you want to live. And if you are in this world as a toy of some great consciousness, it's no fun for you. It's no fun for you. Everybody, every human being, everything that is its own creator. Everything that exists is its own cause and its own effect. Everything. There is nothing by chance in this universe. There's nothing by accident. And so it is on the many dimensions of life. Some of you have fun playing on other dimensions, and you don't realize you're there all the time. You're there all the time. And you just have your consciousness here. And when you put your consciousness there, then you're there. It's as simple as that. You're not moving into it. You're not having a former life, because all time is now. Philosophy has taught this. Religion has taught this. Every great teacher has ever taught this. All time is right now. There's no time, no space. It's all right now. Now is the only time there is. And science is coming to that same conclusion. And they're reporting that in their scientific journals, that all time is now. That it's relative. Isn't that an interesting word? Relative. It's relative to our game we're playing. You write a fiction book and you say, that's a book that's not true. Oh, that book is true. That book is true. That book is in the mind of the author. That book is in the mind of each of the characters that the author created. That's her world or his world, whatever the book may be. And you want to know another fiction? The fiction of history. Gospel history. We look at archaeology. We look at the ancient hieroglyphic writings. We look at the ancient wall writings and caves, the petroglyphs and stuff. And it's fantastic. Isn't that lovely? That's right now. That's right in our consciousness right now. We are living there right now. You say, yeah, but not really. Because I'm living there with my 20th century mind, or my 21st century mind. I'm living there with my attitude of today. No, you aren't. You may think you are, but you're not. The moment you enter into any other level or dimension of beingness, you are in that level or that dimension of beingness. And you are in that dimension fully. And you enjoy it fully, and you know it all fully. Now, an inspired, illumined, master person is able to be aware of many dimensions at once. You take the great Hindu teachers who live in their own inner consciousness. They're not sitting there piously with their eyes rolled back and off on some other dimension. They're living on lots of dimensions. They're aware of this dimension, and they're aware of the dimensions that they're in. They're aware of what we call past lives and past experiences, but they're right then and there and now with each one of those guys. They're great. They're doing their thing, and you could do it too if you chose to give the dedication they do to letting go of saying this is all there is. You're going to get all the fun out of life you can get because this is the only life there is. The moment you stop doing that, and you start realizing that within you, within your awareness, within your consciousness, is the ability to know of 100,000,000,000,000 lifetimes. And you're living them all. And you're Jesus. And you're Buddha. And you're Lao Tse. You're Confucius. You're the greats of every sage of every age. And you're the nothing. You're the nothing of the atoms that have yet to be differentiated. You're the nothing of a thought that is finished, you know. And you're the everything of a thought that's just beginning. You're all. We are the allness of the universe. And that's a beautiful thing to be aware of. Now, when we become aware of that, as we become aware of it, it's sort of an inkling type of thing. When we become aware of it, then we get little intuitions, inspirations of what we're doing on other dimensions. And we have, oh, I see, type of an attitude, where we say, oh, I see. And now, you know, the photography today is quite amazing. They can have a slow motion photography, which is really a fast motion, but it's a slow motion of a plant slowly unfolding its bud and slowly opening up and becoming its beautiful fullness. And then they play it in faster motion. And so the plant's just going like this, you know, just right before your eyes. It does what normally it would take weeks to do, or maybe hours or days. But we do that in our consciousness. We do that in our consciousness. Right now, the MP3, this is where they have condensed music and put it on a disc so that you can listen to it and have maybe 1,000 songs on a very small disc. Hey, that's old stuff. That's yesterday. They now come out with the MP3 or 4, whatever you want to call it. It's a new name, but it's the MP3 idea. And it is condensing again what it condensed before. It's taking what it made in a small portion before into a super small portion again. So now, instead of 1,000 songs on that same disc, it can have 10,000 songs. Well, now, if that's the case, and that's only a few months ago that the MP3 came out, now the MP3's condensed version comes out, what's next? What's next? We're going to come out with some little chip that we stick in our forehead here, you know, and then we can listen to any music we want. We just think the thought. And then, what's next, Sylvia?
No, we don't need the chip anymore, we just think.
We don't need the chip anymore. We will come to that. We think whatever it is. And Sylvia, is this what we've known all along?
Sure.
And we haven't paid attention to it, have we? We've known this all along, and still we want to say it doesn't work. And still we want to say there is a yesterday and there is a tomorrow. And there's only today. There's only the now. If we can come to this understanding, life is a lot more fun. Life is a lot more exciting. Now, Katerina wrote and said that she enjoyed the School of the Master. Why did she write and say she enjoyed the School of the Master? Because in her thought, she was at the School of the Master. She was remembering the beautiful things that happened to her in the School of the Master. Now, I put a little article in the email to the people who were at the School of the Master, and I said, I remember with great joy the time that we had together, and I walk your path, and I enjoy it so much. And many of them wrote back, oh, yeah, that was great. That path did things for me. It helped to reveal who I was. I did things I could have never done before. Here I am, a housewife, picking up rocks and putting them along the edge of a path, you know. And remember Monica? Monica's an independent cuss. What did she do? She didn't even do that. She made petroglyphs along the path. She made symbols of humanity. She made symbols of flowers. She made symbols of all these things. And her path was maybe a very short path in reality. And the rest of the paths were just, you know, half mile, three quarter mile long. Hers was maybe a feet, you know, maybe a couple hundred feet. But on that couple hundred feet, she expressed her soul. She expressed her magnificence. She expressed her genius in that way. Some of us have a flow to our life, and some of us are like an artist. We stand at our palette and we paint. And she was like an artist. And as I drive on her path, I look over and I see these things through the weeds, and I can see that they're still there. They're still there. Glorious and wonderful. And Gertrude, remember Gertrude? In the path that she made, what did she do? All of her paths, if you will pay attention to it, every path that Gertrude made ended up in the rocks. She had three paths that ended up at a meditation spot in the rocks. And the path that led you to that meditation, and there's no outlet. That was it. That's a dead end. And that is where you would enjoy yourself and meditate. Now, what was Gertrude trying to tell herself? Well, we can come to lots of conclusions, and it doesn't matter because it's her thing. But what she was telling herself was she was laying out in the open what was on her heart. Now, is she going to find out what she really has on her heart? The day will come, and she comes back twice a year, and the day will come, she's going to walk that path again, and she's going to sit in her meditation area that she made. And then the genius of the idea that she created there is going to pop into her mind, and she's going to say, "Ah, for this have I done that. For this have I created that wonderful place to be meditating." Now, Sylvie, what do you do on your meditation path? Ingeborg, what do you do on your meditation path? And Ellen, what do you do on yours? Sylvia, she has her meditation path, and her meditation path was filled with symbols. And it just rolled here and there. It's right by the citadel there. And it's a lovely meditation path. But right now, it's a little bit difficult to find it. The grass and weeds have grown up because of the rains that we had. But that too shall pass. And Ingeborg's, for some lovely reason, your path remains open. It's amazing. But you have this. This was what Sam was looking for this morning. I was up on the hill sitting in the prayer bench up there and looking out over the land. And then I watched this flashlight walk back and forth here and back and forth there and over here and over there. And I thought, shall I go down and show him the way, or shall I let him find it for himself? And he found it. But in the dark, in a strange place, you're not always sure what path you're going to follow. But you always know the fence is there.
I was looking for the sign for the path of stability.
Oh, yes, right. Ingeborg's sign of stability.
So when I got the, when I started, it was like I come out and I make left. So when I came out, I make the first left.
Mm-hmm. Instead of the last left.
Right.
Yeah.
And after I'd gone down a little, the sun started getting much more, my feet were...
Yeah, it's easy to miss these things in the dark, because when you miss these things in the dark, you don't realize what you're walking by. Now, Sam is with us this morning for the first time, and this is not his last time, but he is with us, and... Sam is chatting here as though he has the microphone in his hand. And he forgets that he doesn't have the microphone in his hand. But nonetheless, all time is now. And he was enjoying the now in sharing the beautiful experience he had when he woke up for the first time on campus in these fabulous vibrations. And then he looked for the embassy to come over and go for a jacuzzi and to go for a swim this morning. And he made it, I understand.
Yes.
And when he came here, he hugged the jabbers out of all the girls. And they just stood there in awestruck and said, "That's a man." And that's beautiful. But we are living in the now. We are living in the now. And that's what we want to do. We want to realize that in the now is every dimension. And if you choose to think, if you will, back into another dimension that you might have remembered, because that's all you do, that you might have remembered. You pick up a history book and you read about it. That's your story. That's your story. That's not the story of someone. Because you're living it once again, even. You say, well, somebody else wrote the book. Yeah, you can have a lot of ghostwriters writing books for you, but you were there. They say, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Yes, we were all there. Were you there when the Buddha took the poisoned food that gave him ptomaine poisoning and he died? Were you there? Yes, you were there. Were you there when the Buddha first was sitting under the bodhi tree? Yes, you were there. Were you there when the great Brahmin peoples came out of the north and the east from there, the west, and brought forth the teachings that they brought? Yes, you were there. In fact, you were them. Were you there at the origin of the earth? Yes. Were you there living in a dimension within the center of the earth? Yes. Was it a little warm? No. Because you have created it. You have created it as a place of reality for yourself. You say, well, it can't be kind of small to be in the center of the earth and a place where humanity can live. Well, what makes you think that? Now, is the world inside out or outside in? What's the outside of the world? What's the inside of the world? And if you take a glove and you put it on your hand and you pull it off and you pull it off outside in and inside out, then you got that. And it has as much on the inside out as it has on the outside in. So why do we limit our concept of life in the center of the globe Earth, that it can't be there because it's just molten metal? You see, whatever crazy, crazy, wild, strange, imaginative thought goes through your mind, it's real. Because it cannot exist if it does not exist. You cannot think a thought that doesn't exist. You understand that? Everything already exists. Everything. And so if we think any thought, it already exists. Now, you say, well, what about people dying and people being sick and people have... That's true. That's the same thing. Now, do you want to remain dwelling in the area where it's unpleasant to you? Of sickness, unhappiness, or whatever, you know, limitation of any kind. If you want to remain dwelling in that level of consciousness, that dimension, go for it. Remember, in Illusions, Richard Bach was talking to Donald Smoda, and as he was talking to him, he says, I would never turn anybody down who needed help. I would always be there to help somebody who needed help. And so Donald Smoda, having a very imaginative and humorous attitude about him, he created this creature coming out of the dark, coming to ask Donald if he would help him. And Donald says, sure, what do you want? And he says, I want your blood. I am a vampire. I cannot exist without your blood. Give me a little bit of blood or I will die. And Richard says, get out of here. I will kill you. Get out of here. It was an illusion, a pure illusion. And Donald Smoda said to Richard later, do you know what you did, don't you? You denied that person the opportunity to continue living. Not on my blood. Well, that was an illusion too. You see, these are all illusions. We come up with such strong drives that we say are so important to us. And we say that we can do and we can't do things. And we can do everything. And if you want to live on another dimension and enjoy the thrills of another dimension, go for it. And if you want to stay there for 1,000 years, go for it. And you want to come back here at the end of that 1,000 years, it will be right where you left off. It'll be as though no time had passed at all, as though you had just taken a nap, perhaps, and not even that. Because all time is now. So fear not. People say they go on out-of-body journeys and in the out-of-body journeys, they're afraid they might stay away. Well, go ahead. Stay away. And when you're done with the out-of-body journey, you're out, no longer interested in that program, you might choose to come back here, and you'd be back here at the very instant you left. Because all time is now. Can you conceive of that? It's a very obtuse type of thing, very abstruse. It's very difficult to comprehend in a relative way, but that's what it is. And you think you're stupid, and of course you are, but you think you're stupid because you don't understand how a television set works, or you don't know how a computer works, or how a program. Well, if anybody can know it, you can know it. And if anybody knows it, you know it. And so if you think you can't understand something, then your mind will tell you you can't understand it because you think you can't understand it. It's not that you can't understand it. It's that you've told yourself that this is the game you want to play. So you want to play a game of living in the center of the earth? How do you want to play the game? Go for it. You want to play the game that you are Socrates? Go for it. I teach all of my students, be Socrates. Ask questions. Be interested in the other person. Be imaginative with your interest. Be creative. Ask them to sparkle up and give you all sorts of new ways of looking at something. And that's what life's all about. That's what life's all about. Yes, there are an infinite number of dimensions, and they're all right now. There is no yesterday. There is no tomorrow. There is no today. There's only right now. And if we can get ourselves trained into that, if we can get ourselves weaned away from the limitations of our human thoughts, then we shall indeed be, as the saying goes, like God. We shall indeed be expressing more of our real God self. Because is God limited in any way in our consciousness? No. And if we are God, should we be limited in any way? No. So it's up to us to do it now. You know, many of my friends who teach Eastern philosophies, and I have studied with many, many of them, and I find them all very amusing, because the majority of them say that there is a higher power. They want to allude to some higher power. They have all sorts of wonderful Hindu names for them. And yet, every sage, every guru, every teacher of their philosophy says, I am God. But then, our Western way of looking at it with our monotheistic one God, we say, yeah, sure, you got lots of gods, so, you know. And don't we? There is one God that's a universal God everywhere present, and that's in you and me and everybody else. And how are we expressing that one God? You see? How are we expressing that one God? We are making many gods out of the one. And so as the Hindus do this, and as the folks up in Alaska do this, the Eskimos do this. See, what's her name? Beatrix De Palma. She's teaching the Aleuts up in Alaska and in northern Canada how to read and write and do things and paint. And she's translating our textbook into their language and presenting it to them each week as she teaches them. She's teaching this philosophy that all is one and that you're the master of yourself. And you should look within and find all that you are. Now, isn't that quite something? Yet, these Aleuts, they know more of the philosophy than she does. Or perhaps than even we do. Because they live it in their life. They are doing so many things wrong and living very happily that it's amazing. You see, what do they eat? Much of the time, blubber. And that is supposed to be totally wrong for your body. It's supposed to be totally inharmonious with a good digestive system. Yet they're strong and healthy and live long lives. And our friends in India and other countries, what is their staple of food? Rice. A total nothing food. It's just the carbohydrate. It has no real nutrient value about it. And yet it is the major food they eat, which goes to tell us that it is not what we put in the mouth, but what comes out of it that makes the difference. So let's enjoy living on all these dimensions and have fun doing it. And remember, it's not unusual. Everybody's doing it. And it's kind of fun. So, that's our thought for today. Now, you all have a wonderful day. Do beautiful things and think beautiful things. I love you. I love you. I love you.